For transversal campaigns, transversal meaning that it's more than one department involved. Again, with the video products, we've also overachieved the target because more requests for video coverage were received than were anticipated. And again, mainly for the presidency, 71 for the presidency, 58 for other government departments, and 16 for related parties. Radio products, again, we have overachieved the target because the fourth quarter target was 40 radio products and services, but there were more requests for radio products and services than we anticipated. Three of those were live link-ups of government events, 30 were phone-in programs, and one was for the production of adverts, and 51 were recording of government events. Graphic designs, again, we've overachieved the target by 28 because the target was 100 and we have done 128 designs. And then in corporate identity services, this is mainly where departments ask us about the protocol and we assist them about how official photographs should be displayed, but also on how they should plan their corporate identity in terms of the overall corporate identity for government. And they ask us for approvals, and we give them that. Last two on my side, marketing services, there were no deviances there, as well as the distribution of print products, distribution of and in this quarter, we distributed 5 print products, including that includes 4 editions of the Vukuzenzele newspaper and 1 edition of the Pocket Guide. That brings me to an end of my section. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
I will present Program 3, Intergovernmental Coordination and Stakeholder Management. Out of our 12 indicators, we have achieved 11 of the social indicators, and the one we have not achieved was the marketing of the Tusong event for this quarter. We were under our target by 13, and the reason for our underachievement was because of the there was a high demand of imbizos that we supported our principals, and we had also a big achievement on the SONA. So some of our staff were deployed. But on the Tusong marketing, for the annual achievement, we have achieved our target for the year. So our first sub-program is the clusters. On the first indicator, the number of communication forums coordinated, we achieved our target. 2 meetings were held with communicators and chief of staff to plan for visa focus week and on the education for the Interministerial Committee on Publicity and Information. We held 1 internal communicators forum in February. We produced 1 quarterly report on government communication training, and we achieved 100% on the communication projects which was implemented in with the cluster's priorities. The second sub-program is provincial and local liaison. On the first area, we support the functioning of the government communication system. We produce 1 report on the support to the functioning government system, and under this indicator is where we support local communicators forums, communication forums, and we participated for that quarter in 113 communication forums, and we also distributed the following content to our local communicators. It was the SONA 2017 toolkit, back to school campaign, human rights campaign, and the OR Tambo Centenary. The second one was the development communication activations. We've achieved 402 projects for the quarter, so we overachieved with 162. The key focus for this quarter was on the back-to-school campaign, the imbizos, the post-SONA event and the Human Rights Day campaign. Then we also have 482 community stakeholder liaison visits, and we also overachieved 122. And this was also regarding the imbizos that we have planned for the quarter. We have supported 42 imbizos for the quarter, where we supported political principals, which will include a presidential imbizo, deputy president, ministers, premiers, MECs, and mayoral imbizos. We have done 11 My District Today newsletters. We overachieved by one, and that was due to economic issues that emerged in the communication environment. Then the last one is the sub-program media engagement. For the quarter, 7 engagement was done between government officials and senior journalists, so there was an overachievement of 3. There were 3 post-cabinet media briefings, 4 statements were issued. We overachieved by 1 statement. 1 statement was issued without a briefing. And lastly, we had 6 bi-weekly rapid response reports for the minister produced, and we also overachieved the target by 1. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you very much for the opportunity. I will present to you the finance part of our presentation. On slide 26, or it starts from slide 26, those figures represent the budget, final budget, and the actual expenditure as at the end of the fourth quarter, which is the figures is representative for the year and not for the quarter specifically. So this is how we end the financial year 16-17. Members, please note that this is unaudited, and this is also the figures that we presented to the AG in the annual financial statements. Program 1 had a spend of 98.6%, and Program 2, 99.9%, Program 3, 97.1%. Now, what is significant here is that the available budget there, or the variance then, 2,200,000 and then 2.8 million respectively, totaling 5.1 million, the majority of that is on compensation of employees. And the reason being is due to vacant posts, but also due to National Treasury earmarked compensation of employees being specifically and exclusively appropriated, meaning that funds could not be moved around in order to cover some funding freezes on the operational expenditure. So the total spending for the department of 98.7% is actually that underspending of 5.1 million. Perhaps just to note that would that restriction not be there, the department would have had a spend of 100% as we could have moved around the funds. But perhaps also just to indicate that percentage, high percentage, and the 100% does not necessarily mean that we have a sufficient budget. I will elaborate more on that later on. On the next page, slide number 27, the committee will actually see the distribution of the expenditure and the budget amongst the economic classification of expenditure. And what I've just indicated is on compensation of employees, the 5.1 million indicated there. You will also then see that on goods and services, there's a zero budget available and minimal on transfers and subsidies and capital assets. If we then move to slide number 28, that is where we zoom into the programs. I'm not going into all the sub-programs there and all sections there, but just to extract some highlights. The personnel, as I indicated for Program 1, is 96.7%, and the operational was 100%. Can I just indicate that on the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, although it's a very high amount of nearly 63 million, it also includes the office accommodation leases, which forms part of the subprogram financial administration as prescribed by National Treasury. And the office accommodation out of that 63 million is 57 million. So 5 million of that is then the normal day-to-day run activities, as well as some contracts or the two contracts of security and cleaning, etc., and then some other spend also there. But the majority there is the office accommodation leases. On our IT environment, there's a 13 million budget and expenditure. That is for the IT technical contracts that we do have. It's for the Microsoft licenses. It's for the SLAs that we have. However, there's also a pressure there that we do experience, that I will also indicate later on. Then on internal audit, the 2.9 million, perhaps just to indicate that the bulk of that expenditure is for external audit fees for the auditor general by auditing our financial statements. Chairperson, if we can then move to the next slide, which is then program two, content processing and dissemination, where there's a 99.9% spent. And the saving there or the underspending there is only on personnel. The rest of the program actually spent 100% on the operational budget. Perhaps just to extract there also is on printing of communication products, includes the printing of the Vukuzenzele newspaper. Media buying and the distribution also, the distribution part there is also the distribution of the Vukuzenzele newspaper. We can actually move to the next slide, slide number 30, which is then program 3, intergovernmental coordination and stakeholder management, 97.1% in total spent. The operational budget was actually also almost spent 100%. And then just the last one, development and communication of outreach programs, 14.8 million. That is the main spending there is our provincial and local liaison offices, where our communicators are actually going in the regions doing campaigns there, communication campaigns there. Chairperson and members, then the last slide, although we just indicate some funding pressures there, please note that we have prioritized during the year our budget. There is some maintenance that we also had to fund, and it does not mean at all that we have overspent or intend to overspend our budget. These are the funding places that we need to find the funds within the existing budget allocation, our appropriation, and we will reprioritize our budget in such a way that we actually fund those activities also. However, we do have some pressures on the maintenance, and we are attending to that at the moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We're done.
Thank you very much, Mama Williams. Members, that's the presentation. Honorable Kalako.
Mine is just few questions. By the way, Donald is acting when?
MDDA. MDDA.
Because now I was confused. This report you are giving us, you know, and I went through it both with the department on document they sent to us, does it mean that come the end of the financial year and the reports of the audit general, with the trend you are in now, you'll be able to secure a clean audit? That's one. And secondly, how many, maybe if you can remind me, I forget, I think you did mention this, how many offices do you have per province? Or do you have offices in all provinces? And the other one is on vacant posts. If you can remind us again, we know there's an acting, you are acting now on those posts, which are actually those posts, because that's something which time and again we engage on and want this post to be filled. But lastly, you know, you distribute in Parliament to us, Vukuzenzele, and the PSM magazine or book, which is more informative of what is happening. Is it not, I know you distribute also to some centers. Maybe you'll add which other areas you distribute. Is it not advisable that instead of distributing to us here, because my experience, these documents and these books, and really, we hardly read them. They park there in our offices. And in fact, we hardly take them to our constituency offices. We will do that at the end of the year when the member is taking his things or her things. Is it not advisable that instead of lending them here to us, whilst you distribute to some centers, that is why I was asking this question of provincial offices. Why don't you distribute them to people really who need them in our PCOs also? You include them in our in your distribution list, because they will be more useful. I will tell you why. Time and again, more especially, see my offices are in rural areas, my PCOs around the farms. I've found it useful even to teachers. They go to my office, they want this, and it is free. And it's more information there. And they even use it for their students, special matric students, and FET colleges, because that's what we have there in those areas. So that is why I'm asking this, because you find it, these papers are here, dumped. And I don't want to lie. We hardly look at them. Unless we want something, we want to make a research. Thank you.
To be very specific on the question, beyond how many, when are you appointing the DG? Do we have money for that? Is it a funded post? Obviously, it must. You can have the DG position not funded. Yeah, so that you become clear as to how many posts and when is the plan. What is the plan to? The plan will indicate as to when. Honorable Kungbel.
Thank you, Chair. I think my own language is that when you enter the communication space, there's something you want to address. There's a change you want to make. We continue not to be presented with a baseline. That when you started, wherever you started, what is it that you were addressing in terms of communication? What was missing in various aspects of society? So that when you say you have achieved a target, we can compare it to the deficit you found. That is the essence, again, of the baseline. We'll repeat this, but I'll repeat it maybe that day which we call for one day of us discussing the language is going to be useful. I just want to, because that when I say we meet and have all these discussions, I'll avoid asking many other questions. But just as for interest purposes, if you say you go to research, policy and research, you must have analyzed particular challenges. when you say platforms and collecting platforms, you must have again assessed the situation. And then the situation's results must say to you, prioritization of products is informed by this which I've discovered, and so on. In terms of platforms, how are platforms that you found are performing, and why either new platforms or changing the existing platforms? But again, until we find one another on the results articulation. But I just wanted to ask this question on program one, in page 5. There's a common word under indicator. It says much implemented, which is a useful language when you talk results approach. Your performance indicators are strategic management processes and procedures implemented. Row 1, row 2, row 3 say the same thing. But if you follow the columns, the first row, if you follow the column, it says implemented, but annual target is tabled. If you can assist that. Even in what you're articulating as your output, you have tabled. But your indicator is what has been implemented. Maybe, unless you say indicator means that there's discord in language. If I were to say, for instance, I start with a target, now the question would be, what would be the performance indicator? Now, your performance indicator would say, processes and procedures implemented, tabling and implemented. Here is a tabled in Parliament according to prescribed legislation, but you're talking about implementation of processes and procedures. And I'm saying, maybe there's something I do not understand. You can explain. There's language discord. It applies in the next row. It applies in the third row, in the same, in the similar way. Even if you go to page 6, same story. IMT governance is a purpose indicator. You say under annual target, you speak about the availability of IT infrastructure, but your indicate what has been implemented. It's governance that has been implemented. Here is IT availability of IT infrastructure presented. The two are not the same. That's what I want to argue. If you say IT infrastructure presented, and then your purpose indicator, governance implemented, the two are not the same. These are the issues I want us to talk about. We may not deal with them today, but it continues to be the language challenge. That's one. But the issue again is, if we don't have a concrete baseline, once we work together, we don't know where we are going to. Because the point is that once the problem statement is properly articulated, you are coming to parliamentarians and say, as technicians, we have found this problem. If it is addressed, this is how the society life is going to improve. And now, once we are together with you in understanding that problem, and then we go and motivate for more money, and now we're checking the changes we're making, unless those things are packaged in a what to call, useful. Chair would have spoken a number of times about the base document. Generally, that's where I end for everything.
Yes, sir. Chair, yes, good morning. Chair, I might not have a specific question to the presentation, but I must once again congratulate the GCIS for having been able to achieve even going an extra mile in making sure that they achieve their targets. It's always been the case. I really am very happy for them because really they are also very honest in reporting back. The issue of the language that has been raised by Honorable Kumbel, I think we need a meeting just to deal with that. Because if we haven't conclude that forever, there will be these pending questions. But just a question outside everything else. So, person, I hope, I thought acting DG was going to tell us when is the acting story going to come to a stop?
The
theater goes. Yeah? I really want a situation where we will say at a particular given time, we're not allowed the department to come back here with this kind of an arrangement. It becomes even more worse when Mom Williams has come and act after the acting. And she is bringing everybody acting. Then it becomes a theater.
And the former acting
is acting something. So I think there should be that situation where we will say, you come only when we have really did the right thing. Because we know the experience of people coming in to act. We are seated with that in the very diocese. The entire problems, in fact, there's a lot of problems that this department is going through. It's through the people acting. That's the bottom line. And at the end, nobody's accountable on anything. And people get away with serious, serious things. I think we should be that brave to say, whilst we all know that this should happen at this particular time as per the program, but for as long as people will come here giving us the stories that they are acting, they shouldn't even bother to come. We'll go to Parliament and say, it's theatre, it's not a department, so there's no way you can come and report about what is happening in the theatre. But lastly, Chair, I think Mrs. Push can give us information here on the sketch that is taking place outside on gender-based violence. It's no longer gender-based violence. Sketch, women being killed, not just being raped, killed, now they're being banned. I don't hear a coherent message from yourselves, guys. Everybody's talking. These small NGOs are trying their best to say, this should happen, this must happen, this with together with this, together with that. And the person who's supposed to work with everybody, together with everybody, which is government in this case, I don't hear a coherent message from you. The president has been in Western Cape, a three-year-old, all those very important things that are happening, government showing that we're very committed in wanting to make sure that this sketch comes to an end like we did. We dealt with HIV. We had these problems. But at some point, government was able to send a coherent message and everybody followed. And now, it's like we're moving behind the society. The society is leading us. I don't think it's correct for having that kind of activism within our society. However, government must lead. And I think I really would want to emphasize this. At least we need a coherent message. Because this thing doesn't come closer to a stop. It becomes worse. A 16-year-old killed and burnt a 15-year-old. It becomes worse by day. But I don't hear this coherent message, but also very consistent that talks to everybody and appealing to say, here we want you to work with everybody, making sure that we cannot ignore this anymore. Because whatever that you want to come up and say and change people's lives where they are, whether you can have as many vuvuzelas as well, if we haven't addressed this case that is really killing people and facing our girl child and everybody else, it's a problem. So that will be my take for this. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no thanks. We'll come to other members, but concretely,
Because sometimes it's fine to hear from the acting DG as to what is the plan to appoint and all of that. I think we are right there, not Tolash. I think we must give DOC GCIS a period of 30 days to appoint the DG, another vacant post. There must be some time frame to keep them, isn't it, members? Just a time frame to say, within 30 days, we don't want to see any acting, both in GCIS and DOC. Honorable Machop? No, that's fine. Okay. Honorable Van Dijk?
Chair, most of my answers are questions are covered, but I would like to know from the GCIS, from their perspective, besides budget constraints, what are the main three challenges that you as an entity have?
Honourable Thirdy?
Chair, let me congratulate GCIS, like what my colleagues have done earlier, for the work that has been done. At least it shows that something is happening in the real sense. The first one is we have made a recommendation in the last engagement with DOC and the department. And I'm sure DOC tried in our last session that without necessarily tampering with your format of reporting, it's critical that you, as you come to appear before the committee, brief us on the work that we have done in terms of the issues that we have raised in the previous engagement. So that's the first thing. But before we can even talk about any other thing, we'll appreciate if you can just say, in our last engagement, these are the issues that the portfolio committee raised, and this is how far we have moved, and if there are difficulties, these are the difficulties that we are coming across in the process of us implementing those issues. That's one issue. So just to reiterate that kind of the second one, I think my colleagues have already congratulated you in terms of the expenditure. 98.7 expenditure. It's really a good story to tell. Because more often people complain about lack of funds, and when funds are there, they're not utilized. I think to me it's a good story to tell. The reason why we had recommended that is critical for parliamentarians to be part of your recipients for your press statements and opinion pieces is because as I go to my constituency office, when people see me, they don't see a member of the Portfolio Committee on Communications. They see a parliamentarian. So it's important because they can't say you don't serve in the Portfolio Committee on Enterprise. Therefore, you don't have answers on what is happening at home. I'll just give an example. When they see you as a person who have got answers about a whole range of issues that are happening. So all I'm saying is that it's important that you also ensure that parliamentarians, not only at this level, all parliamentarians be recipients of these pieces that you're talking about, your press briefings and all that, so that at least we're then able to assist in communicating some of these issues that you are handling at your level. The second last one, Chair, Honorable Kalako spoke about your Vukuz and Zele editions. I'm
I'm less concerned about the number of copies that you're printing, but I'm more concerned about the distribution part. So I'll appreciate even the next engagement. You tell us, of those that you have printed, how many have you distributed? Where? And where are these copies? Because sometimes we'll be talking about copies that have been printed still lying in some of these offices. So it's critical that you follow on where these copies ended up going after they've been printed. And even in terms of reporting, you'll then be able to report to us. 100,000, 50,000 went to parliamentary offices, something like that. 50 went to Tucson Center, something like that. So that we're then able to know and even track on whether these copies are reaching the correct destination. The 5 million that you spoke about under expenditure as a result of vacant posts, I think my colleagues have raised it. I don't want to overemphasize, but the problem is you have posts that are budgeted for, but you can't fill those vacancies. It's a very critical matter. Because why can't we fill it? Because if there is money for those posts, that leads to us having 5 million under expenditure as a result of posts budgeted for. There is money, but the positions remain vacant. It can be. But I'm happy with the suggestion which says maybe we must start to talk about time frames as the chairperson has indicated. The last one is with regard to this office space issue that GOC keeps on saying we appreciate GCIS assisting us with the issue of the space because we are sharing. This thing has been happening for quite some time. What are the effects of this kind of a setup where you share offices with DOC? If there are problems, what problems arise as a result of this kind of a setup, and what is the progress with relation to us addressing this particular challenge? We will appreciate just to know the work that is being done to address this particular challenge of DSC not having offices, you sharing with them. And what are the implications? Thanks.
Thank you very much, members. Yeah, maybe you just respond to what you can, and then you can share the pie with other members. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chess. I was certainly going to share with my colleagues, but I'll just start with a few, and maybe I should start with an anecdote. When the new minister came and met with the management of GCIS, and we were all introducing ourselves, and it was acting, and I think the minister stopped in midway, and he says, "What's going on?" Because indeed it had been a challenge, but I think the members would be happy to know that one of the first instructions that we were given was that go and advertise all those posts that are funded, and we have already advertised them, and the process has closed, and we are currently busy doing the interviews. So certainly when we come back, we will come back with a different Hollywood. I think it will have more permanent stuff. The second question that I wanted to respond to is the question that is asked by Honorable Gungubele around the baseline. I think it's a very valid question because we have always prided ourselves with saying whatever message that we send out is a message that is based on the research. What does the research say?
And I think from where we stand, I don't think we can proudly say we are dealing with a baseline precisely because of the budget constraint. For instance, I'll cite the example, the research that was done, one of the issues that came out is that people want to know that government keeps saying they are creating job opportunities. Where are these? And we know for a fact that there is a lot that is being done. There are institutions like DTI, Opportunities for Young People, NYDA. That information we know for a fact it's not coming out and it doesn't go to people who really need it. And part of the problem is that we did develop an extensive campaign to try and say to South Africans, these are the opportunities. This is where you go if you want to start your own business. This is what you can do. But I think the challenge we had is that we developed that whole campaign and that whole information drive, but there was no money. There was also a research that was showing that a lot of South Africans don't know that corruption is not only in government. You get corruption from just ordinary South Africans that think that they can bribe a traffic cop when they've breached the robot. South Africans don't know that shops close down because of corruption, even from CEOs. But I think we picked up when we were doing the research that a lot of people, when you ask them, what is corruption? They all pointed at government. And we felt that we need to go on a drive to try and educate South Africans that corruption is a societal problem, that it cannot be stemmed only from government only. Yes, government has to do something, but also ordinary South Africans who think that by stealing soap at the shop that they are working in, it will result in that shop not thriving and eventually closing down. But I think part of the challenge, Chairperson, is that I don't think we've got enough budget to do these kinds of blitz. But responding to you that we could do better if we are given a budget. We know what the baseline is. We know what the information deficit is. But I think the result is, do we have enough funding? So that's how I would respond to that. In terms of the question around dissemination of Vuvuzenzele, I think it's a valid point. We know, we've done a research, we know how important Vuvuzenzele is to people in rural areas who don't have the money to buy Star or newspaper, and they depend on this. And what we're even picking up now, because we have decided that all government vacancies are going to be put in that Vuvuzenzele, because people are not able to advertise or to apply for jobs because they have to buy a Sowetan or they have to buy a newspaper. Now, recently, last year, all vacancies that we have, we place them on Vuvuzenzele. So there's even a higher demand for people to get information. So I think it's something that we can consider, because I think the honorable members are correct. I have seen some of the stalls within Parliament. Vuvuzenzele is just lying there when we know we're short of copies that we could distribute. So it's something that we could take. In terms of the office space, I think the honourable member was asking how does it impact in us. The building that we have, honourable members, we negotiated with Treasury at the time for a 15,000 square meter based on the number of people we have. And we didn't anticipate that number. In fact, I think we were given a 20% adjustment in the event of growth in the next 5 years or so. That margin has been completely exceeded. What the implications are is that the building itself is not designed to have the number of people that it has. And as a result, as Henny had pointed out, the maintenance of the building, it is because the volumes of people that we have are more than what the capacity of the building is. So it certainly is a problem. We're surviving with that whole margin of 20% that we had, but I think we've exceeded it. So we're certainly having these challenges of the building maintenance. It is actually putting a strain. So if the lifespan of that building currently was about 5 years, and now we are finding that we have to actually engage with National Treasury to explore giving us more money, because I think the wear and tear has become shorter compared to what it was envisaged to be. So that those are the implications. And I think the challenge also of the DOC, they can't even increase the people they need because we don't have space where to put them. So that's where the problem is with the building. Gender-based violence, honorable members, I think one of the campaigns that we are going to be driving this financial year is around that matter, because I think we all feel very strongly that we are not coming out visibly to deal with, but there is a campaign that may possibly, when we come back next, we will be sharing with you what is it that we are doing. I think I'll leave the number of offices in the provinces to Geraldine. I think Kitu can also respond to how far we are in filling the post. Henny can talk about whether we think we will get the clean audit, and then also Tasnim will talk about our distribution, where are we distributing the Vukuzenzele. And then I think Karabo, honorable members, I got a sense that the issue of description needs a kind of a roundtable discussion, because the indicators or the terminology is guided by what Treasury and the Auditor General wants. In some cases, even ourselves, we are never sure. But I think Karabo could have spoken to you much more elaborately. But I think it does need a bit of a discussion. Thank you very much, Chair.
Before this, the response there. We just advertised for the SABC Board, MDDA, ICASA, and it's not the first time. And I think we must also place those adverts in Vukuzenzele. There will be nothing wrong with that. Because it's government paper. It's free. People can have access on it. So maybe as communication, whatever we have in terms of posts, as we send all of that to Sunday Times and all the other papers, must also send them to you.
Thank you very much, Pumla and Chairperson. I think Pumla has already alluded to the process of filling the post. In our last meeting when we were here, we did indicate that the Minister has given approval that we feel we advertised all the SMS posts, and they closed mid-May. We have done the scheduling and everything is in motion. And then, as you know, I think the process will take about 2 months. So I can safely say by the end of July, because people have got to give notice. If it is an internal candidate, it's very easy. But if a person is somewhere else, we need to give the person a chance to serve notice. So somewhere around the end of July, the beginning of August, we'll be able to fill this post. All of them have been advertised. And I think truth must be told that with regard to this post, really, for the past 36 months, we were paralyzed in terms of filling this post because we couldn't get approval, we couldn't get any move from the previous minister for whatever reason. But with the current minister, the first thing that she said, like Pumla said, was that can this post be filled as soon as possible? With regard to the post of DG, I think this post, as members will be aware, it has been vacant from 2012 when Mr. Manyi left. And up to now, there's been acting and advertised, not filled, and the like, for the reasons that are not known to us. So this minister who started the beginning of April is doing headhunting. We have already, she has, because I don't know how many times have we advertised it, but every time the process was stopped, every time the process was stopped. So she has said we are not going to advertise it again, and she has done the short, the head hunting, and she has the CVs with her. We have done all the processes for her, and then we'll await her decision on that. But I think she is very much determined that the post needs to be filled as soon as possible. So we are hopeful that it will be done.
The OC advertised for the DG, and there was one applicant. I hope it won't be the same with the GCA. One, the person who was interested in applying for the DG of the OC, one. Why? I don't know. I hope it won't be the same with you, GCA.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I think our acting DG has actually very much answered the questions that are meant for me. Maybe I can just give some more detail. And if I must say so, Honourable Member Kalako, you've broken my heart. How can you not read Vukuzenzele and TSL? You should be asking your secretary to bring it to you as soon as it arrives. It is riveting reading. I make sure that it's riveting reading.
No, no adults do not even take them from teaching home.
Yeah, so... But can I just, with the permission of the acting DG, I'm going to give you some detail about the distribution. First of all, you are the only stakeholders that we bring to which is not in the target market. Whatever you might believe about yourself, you're not LSM 1 to 5. But so we have been through many distribution methodologies with the Vukuzenzele. Even before I was at the DCIS, we've tried the post office. We've tried taking them to provincial offices. We've tried taking them to Tusong service centers. We've tried dropping them off at clinics and places of local schools and so on. There's pros and cons to every distribution methodology. So what we often used to find is that even in our own offices or in the Tusong service centers, unless you have a champion there that's prepared to take out those Vukuzenzeles and take personal responsibility for distributing them, it often is the case that you'll find packs and packs and packs and packs of Vukuzenzeles under somebody's desk. And that applies to any government publication. It doesn't only happen to me. So we think we've found a methodology now that pretty much works. We've also, by the way, although we print 1.7 million copies, and now we're printing 850,000 because we split it into two per month. So we used to say, we can't cover the entire target market, which is LSM 1 to 5. So what we used to do is we used to alternate. One month, we will go to Ofimbaba. Another month, we'll go to Masatia, right? But that doesn't help us, because what you can't do is you can't trace the continuity. You can't research. You can't check. So now what we've done is, going to the same areas, and the priority is deep rural. The priority, unlike any other newspaper in this country, the priority is deep rural. So I think our acting DG said, people can't afford the Star and all of that. That's true, but it's also places where newspapers do not reach. We go there, but it's not enough. It's never enough, because when we have that sit down that, one of the members said we should do, we're going to show you the pictures of people chasing the book truck and harassing the distributors because they want the copies, like you said. When you go out there, that's, people are information hungry. And what they want is information that's going to help them to change their lives, which is the essential mandate that we exist for. But we don't have enough money to distribute as much as we want. And then what we said is let's do find another way. So we've come up with a mobile application, and we've come up with an app and we've also got a website. Currently, we are talking to Vodacom and MTN to see whether they can zero rate government information on the government website. And what that will mean is that people will be able to download the book for free. They won't have to pay data costs. And if that is the case, it will really change. It will be a game changer for us. So we're trying to pursue that. At the same time, we're also trying to increase the advertising. The acting DG is ambitious. She wants all government departments. The truth is we have about 3 or 4 that are advertising with us regularly. But it has happened once that we've got enough money to produce a second copy. One of the other problems we face, and this is something you can help us with, is that to distribute book in 3 days costs almost double the money that we are currently paying. Right? So we have to distribute in 5 days. But if you think about deadlines for positions, sometimes it's a very tight deadline. So if a department puts out an advert for a position and they want and the deadline to submit is 2 weeks time or whatever, it's useless to put the advert in the book. So that's a problem we face. One other issue that maybe I should mention to you is that our research demonstrates that people find the content of the book very useful. If you see the priority pages, the one that the acting DG mentioned, people want to see information about jobs, what government is doing to create a better environment, where they can look, how can they improve their skills. So we put that as a priority. But all the other priorities of government also have a dedicated page. Now, coming back to you, the reason why we need you to read book, because when you go to your constituency offices, we're hoping that you are able to impart that information. It's a few hundred copies, 400 copies, compared to the 850,000 copies that we do distribute. It's a small number. But I think what we should do is we should find a way of making sure that the copies we distribute here are better used. Maybe we can see who's not using them and take them and distribute them somewhere else in Cape Town. I think that's all about distribution. And I've noted the Honourable Member's suggestion that what we can do is we can bring here our distribution areas to show you the areas that we are distributing the book to. I think I've answered all of
this. Thanks, Acting DG. Honourable Members, we've got 9, in each province we've got 1 provincial office, and then we've got 53 district offices where our communicators are based. And they serve as that whole district municipality. In some instances, they do 2 district municipalities because of the shrinking of our footprint.
Thank you, Acting DG. Thank you, members. let me rather, instead of jumping in and answer the question about the clean audit, can I use this opportunity to thank the Honourable Member for the expenditure of 98.7% of congratulating us. Thank you very much for that. And perhaps just to indicate that it is a collective effort of the department. We are working very hard to actually to utilize our funds correctly as it should be. Chairperson and members, with regard to the clean audit, for the past 2 financial years, we got a clean audit. We are working very hard to actually achieve that, and we proud ourselves, if I may say that, in the fact that that is our optimum achievement at the end of the day. When we can obtain pure and accurate financial management procedures and principles that will lead to a clean audit, that is what we strive for. From a financial perspective. So for this year, 16-17, that will be audited, we intend to have a clean audit. We fully trust ourselves, and we hope that the AT is also seeing it in the same light as we do, and that is that we may receive again another clean audit. We don't anticipate, and I don't foresee anything currently that I'm aware of that may jeopardize that objective of ours. Thanks.
When the department is acting staff or top officials,
a clean audit. I will talk to the AG. That must be one of the criteria.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the one question that was not attended to was what are the other challenges that we have other than the budget. I think, Chair, to be honest, managing a system, which then means how do we ensure that there is coherence in government, is still a bit of a challenge. For in the outside one example, we've always argued, even at municipality level, what is the value of you placing an advert with a full picture of the mayor and not information? We've tried to communicate with them to say there is no value in spending money in Sunday Times when you could use that money to distribute information that, because, I mean, people don't really care to see your face. They want to know what is it that you say. It remains a challenge. We've issued instructions. We've advised them to say there is no value in putting a double pager with the photo of the person when you don't tell them what that district mayor is doing in the area. So that's just one example. The same applies to national. I don't want you to be picking up the province. The provinces do it. The national departments, in some cases, they do it. I mean, sometimes there is an information deficit. You phone a department, you say, but you have this information. Why don't you clarify it in the media? We don't have control over them. So there were quite a number of issues around to what extent do we have influence in managing the system that we are mandated to do. We don't have, because in terms of the public service, the communicators report to their respective DGs. So our role comes, but we would want it to be much more forceful. Equally with the portfolio committee, we would want a portfolio committee that challenges the department to say, why aren't you communicating? Because your mandate as a portfolio committee is to ensure that communication does happen in government. So that's one challenge that I thought maybe I should highlight, and it is a critical one. Thanks.
Yes, members. When these things were not working, yeah, I'll come to you. I deliberately informed members about the program, the oversight program, because I know that you are supposed to communicate. We'll be in KZN, we'll visit your office in Durban, but I think that information, because it's quite in one of the important committees, communication. I think that must be, because we'll go to COSI, we'll go to all these places, community radios. So I think the presence of any department or portfolio committee must be communicated, including ours. I'm just raising it so that you see what to do. Honorable Sadi.
Slide 11. There is one indicator. Oh, by the way, Chairperson, I'm doing this thing because Chairperson warned me earlier.
I'm very happy that it's coming okay.
Slide 11. There is an indicator with. No, this document. This one. Oh, you did not? Yeah. There is an indicator which says executive authority according to prescribed legislation as a target. Even quarter four, the work that has been done, still says executive authority according to prescribed legislation. Program what? Program one, eh? Yeah. Can you clarify that one? What does it mean? And underneath there, you'll see another target, another indicator without a target. Why do you have that kind of decision? The last one, you know, DG, The approach which says, I appreciate if it's for information. The approach which says corruption is also happening in the private sector is fine. But my worry is when we don't want to give it the necessary attention and say because it's happening even in the private sector, I will have a problem. All I'm saying is that if there is a perception that we are corrupt, there's corruption in the public service, we must be able to face it head on. So I'm raising this thing in the, after you have made an indication that these things are not only happening in government. Is there people are bribing traffic cops, some of that is fine. All I'm saying is that we must be able to face this particular aspect head on, irrespective of whether it's even happening somewhere. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying it should not be an excuse to say these things are also happening somewhere. Then we must be less concerned. No, I will have a problem if that is the approach. If for information, yes, we must encourage people to move away from this thing. But we must be able to, because this is one very critical aspect that was raised while we were moving towards the local government elections. The perception of corruption, that we are a corrupt government. So we must be able to deal with this thing head on. Because perception, if it's not attended to, it becomes very dangerous. People will continue to hold this particular aspect, and it becomes truth in the long run, even if it's not there. But all I'm saying is that I have a problem with that approach, which is happening somewhere. If it's there, let's deal with it head on. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody wants to make a contribution before I hand over to the department? And don't close your eyes too much. Okay, department.
I'm going to ask Karabo to respond on the other, but just to clarify, Honorable Member, I was making an example to say we did a research to try and check what the people's understanding of corruption is. And the response that we received was that most, if not all of them, were citing their understanding of corruption being only government. And what we are saying when we were crafting the messaging is that it's not downplaying what we are doing in government. In fact, what we were saying is that we need to actually start amplifying what government is doing in tackling it. But if we are going to send a message that only talks to government, we will not crack the misunderstanding of society, of thinking that when they're busy doing shoplifting or stealing in the shop or doing some funny things with the books of a company and they think, no, that one is okay. I think Ruzuela private sector. And they don't understand the implication is that that company can go under by corruption. So we need to have a holistic approach in educating society. But it's not downplaying what we are expected to do. That one, you are correct. We're doing quite a lot in trying to educate public servants. In fact, we don't only educate, but we even arrest them, those that we find. And I think that your point is a valid one. It was not the kind of an approach we want to take to downplay the public service. The public service is dealing with it. But our concern is that the private sector is not dealing with it. And the society is not dealing with it, because for a parent who says, I'm going to give my child 2,000 rand to go and buy a exam paper, they don't realize that it is wrong. You're destroying society, because that child is actually going to start on a bad footing as an adult. So that's the kind of examples that we were trying to make when you send a message out there about corruption. So that's basically, but I think your point is valid. I'm going to request to Karabo to then deal with the technical issues.
Thank you, Acting DG. Honorable members, on the target regarding the third quarter 2016-17 preliminary performance report, the National Treasury Framework for Strategic Plans and Annual Performance Plans, as well as the DPME Framework for Submission of Quarterly Reports, requires that national departments submit their reports to the National Treasury, the DPME, the executive authority being the minister and the deputy minister. So our target was to ensure that these reports are submitted to the relevant authorities by the 31st of January. So in the beginning of the financial year, the DPME submits or shares with departments the legislated dates for submission of these quarterly reports to themselves, National Treasury and the Minister and Deputy Minister. The target on tabling of the annual report to Parliament in quarter four, that is from January to covering January and March, there's no target because we tabled the annual report according to the PFMA on the 30th of September in the next financial year. So the annual report for 2016-17 will be tabled on the 30th of September 2017, and we present to Parliament. We normally get the dates around October. I think we presented on the 11th of October last year for the 15-16 financial year. So in quarter four, we normally don't have a target for the annual report.
Arrangement now. No, mine is just little on alignment in planning. I have a problem where I hear Karabo says at the beginning of the financial year. It's what we're trying to fight with the AG, which the AG is changing. I remember when I was in municipality, they have changed very dramatically. They meet on a quarterly basis to look at controls and everything else. Because it's always useless after effect to tell us how have we gone wrong. It applies to line function departments. Some years ago, long, many years ago, that's what they say in storybooks, there used to be something called micro-prioritization and macro-prioritization, long before you talk finances. That is why you would even align the proposals of committees and the executive, micro and macro. At that point, the issues of language and everything else is the time. When you allocate budget, by the time you allocate it, you know specifically what are you allocating it to. So that's what I'm saying. There are some of the things we need to talk about. When do we align? When AG must say, this plan that we are producing, it doesn't make sense. So why do we even spend money on it? Treasurer must say, if this is your approach, you are not going to make sense. I'm tempted to say, sometimes even Treasurer allocate set methods. Well, Treasurer would not like it. We need to meet Treasurer too. We need to meet. All I'm saying is that alignment, not at the beginning of the financial year. It's too late. The last time I remember, you are planning now for 2018-2019, as you are analyzing the performance of 2017-18. It is those alignments that must be sorted out. But it's just a comment.
I think, thanks, Chair. I think my interpretation is to concur to our principal, the minister and the deputy. When they starting a work to say this acting must come to the end, No, I'm just asking myself, as from 2012, these acting DGs, acting in this department, I wonder what happened in those departments. People are acting, and you don't know whether there's not, the things are hidden. You don't know. The people who are acting there. But I just want to say, Chair, thank you very much. But that person who applied alone, I don't know which department.
DOC.
I think that process must be open again. You can't allow one person to apply alone. There are many people. Maybe they deserve that job better than the others. I don't say better than acting one. We must open that process to start up fresh. And I'm not sure what criteria you are doing to make sure the advertisements are going across the nation so that the people can know that they can apply for these jobs. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, for sure. Trisayas will talk about their processes. And then DOC will have to talk about their own processes. Two different departments. I don't know if that is the question. You want to... She was saying... Mama Chop, we are addressing your question. She was saying she's not sure on how you deal with your processes of advertisement. GCIS. Don't talk about the other department, DOC.
Chairperson, I think the Honourable Member is correct. I think the challenge that we have experienced from 2012, if you advertise 3-4 times, as far as I recall, when we started in 2012, there were quite a lot of adverts. The second time, the number reduced. The third time, the number reduced. The fourth time, people actually say, are you crazy? You know, why are you advertising this post and you don't close it? So I think that's what probably even happened in DOC, is that people keep seeing this advert all the time and there's no closure to it. Nobody wants to waste their time and apply for a post that they think it's not going to be filled. So I think that's what probably happened there, because that's what has certainly happened in GCIS. At the end, people gave up, not necessarily the DC, even the chief directors and the directors. Most of them, we ended up having a crisis because only one person would apply, then it goes, and then you are told again, advertise it. So that's what happened. Thanks.
Mama Tolash.
I think on that one, can we agree to say, at least for each and every meeting where we are meeting, whether DOC or GCIS, let's get that brief. How far things are at that time. So that we don't want to suspect that they are angels and so on. Let's get that brief. Every time we meet GCIS, as long as they've got this team that is acting, let us get the update on, so that we can go back to say, in fact, how much does this advertising that is not being closed, how much does it cost? And at whose expense? Because we still have a pending meeting with Treasury to say, let this department get more money. I'm not sure if they come back to say, to do what? When you have wasted so much money in doing things that are not concluded and don't have any fruitful outcomes. Let's just be fair a little bit, Chair, and say things must happen at a particular time, and in that process, let's get a feedback on each and every meeting where we get them, whether it's both GCIS and DOC. Let's get until the whole organogram, of course, budgeted for, is complete. Let that be a standing item so that we are all happy with the program.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay. You don't need to respond. All what you need to do is to all the time get the progress reports, because you just need to populate your organogram, because we have all these things. Reflects there. We just need to put individuals there. And if there is a crisis, the committee must assist. Honorable Kalasa, what I've seen. I think with GCIS we are done. But the committee will remain for a few minutes. Thank you very much. Thanks for the presentation and the responses. Continue doing the good job, because you do. Yeah. Yeah, no, that one, it's not even a question. That one won't hear it anymore.
Does it include me when I say?
Am I also the committee? Am I also the committee? Can I also remain?
Please ask that honorable member. That's right.
So, to what?
Sure, sir.
What?
I need to suppose that I would be a committee member or not. Fede?
Thank you. The meeting is not adjourned. We are just releasing the desire. You are taking too long. Yeah, you can take water and your drink. I know Pretoria too far. Can you sit down?
How are you?
Members, I just want to go back to the KZN program again, because I need your buy-in on this one. And I was saying, Menko will deal with the media issues for the oversight media plan. They will have to do that. But as to the actual program, we need to have your buy-in as the office of the chair. Can you send the latest?
I sent it to
you. Is it me? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was saying, members, we are going to spend not 4 days, 3.5 days. No, not as Lali's pair. It's a mix. It's a mix. But in the main, I just want us to understand that we'll have to break the Constituency Day and fly to Richards Bay. Because there are two flights from Joburg to Richards Bay. One is too early, but the other one is 5 o'clock. So the bookings must be such that
all of us were in Joburg, over Tambo, by 4 o'clock, so that we are ready to fly out at 5.
Is that on the 26th?
On the 26th.
Okay, that's fine.
On the 26th. We sleep in Richards Bay on the 26th. On the 27th, first thing after breakfast, we go to work. And in the main, we let me open mine. In the main, we are going to meet the community radios. I know what's the earliest flight for us to go out of Cape Town now? A revised version of oversight problem. Okay. So first thing on the 27th, which is a Tuesday, because send this draft to all members. Because the draft, it will be finalized. We are meeting KZN TV. It says here 1 KZN TV. We'll have to put flash on this
in
Richards Bay. We'll have to put flash on this so that we know what 1 KZN TV is. Well, we're not just given 1 KZN TV and don't know what's happening there. We must get information as to what this is. What are we supposed to do there? That's one. 2, we go to Tumulu. Well, of course, it's still in Richards Bay. We meet Kawe Entertainment Group. I've been checking, what are we doing in Kawe Entertainment Group? And thought that it would be engagement with them. Maybe it will be engagement. Because it's the entertainment group. Nobody was able to explain to me this thing. So we'll have to get that information. What is Kawe Entertainment Group? What are we going to do with them? And all of that. Number 3, we drive to Stanga, which is in the same route to Durban. If I can get your attention, members. It's the same route to Durban. And then there we meet the... From Richards Bay, we drive to Stanga, which is towards Durban. It's towards Balito and all of that. Same route. And there we meet the SMME News. SMME News. What is SMME News? What are we going to do there? We need explanation from you guys. So that when this thing goes to members again, there is some explanation as to what is that and what are we going to do there. And then we meet Josias in Etekwini. Same day. That's day one. Josias, we meet them. We engage with them as we did in their headquarters. No, that's the last program of the day, of the first day, so that we don't go back to this members.
We'll go back to Richards Bay.
No. We've started in Richards Bay. We have done work. We go down to Durban. On the way to Durban, we meet SMME in Stanga. And then from Stanga, we go to Durban, to GCIS. We meet GCIS, and we sleep in Durban. That is on the 27th. Mamele kumbe, so that Sunapindiland nibe late kwe plans. That's the end of the first day. The second day is 28th of June. Ebekwanga noba kuphi apa, kutwa the 5 FM. There is nothing gipale palwe apa. 5 FM, and then as Abazulu, I suspect this is still Deben because we still go to Pietermaritzburg. Let me assume that this is all Deben. This is all Deben. Let us assume this is all Deben because we haven't written anything, you guys here. We meet eVibe, we meet as Abazulu News, we meet Disability Magazine, NCRF Provincial Office, Films and Publications Board. We want meet
Deben.
On all those things. Content, what are we going to do? Where is this thing? The 28th, where are we on the 28th?
Deben.
It's still Deben.
It's still Deben.
28th is Deben, the whole of 28th is Deben. And then it day two, Impelling the Films and Publications. Day three, which is the Thursday, we go to Umkungundlovu. Now we are on N3. I'm getting half of Besuku N2. From Richards Bay, Besuku Coast N2. Sehlangayo to Deben. Are you listening? Sehlangayo to Deben. Now we take the N3. To Maritzburg. And then in Maritzburg, we meet Umkungundlovu Community Radio, KZN Capital Radio, Capital 104, nobody Capital Radio of Dalali. And then from Maritzburg, we drive to Ladysmith. In Ladysmith, we meet Inhloso yesizwe, in Mubeko FM, Comrade Monty. You remember? Mubeko FM, we went to Pretoria to the department to give notes, and then those people were coming from that side. Mubeko Community Radio, unfortunately, we are going to meet them. And that's the 29th. There is nothing on the 30th, most according to this program.
What is it about? Are we not highly 30th today from Christmas?
Yeah. Oh, okay. In Mubeko, see Bona on the 30th.
Mm.
On the 30th is the only thing that we're doing in Ladysmith. But here, times a cockeye. So, Patama Klasha is not a problem. What is necessary in work is to how are we going to deal with KZN. Times will be corrected, not here. And then, on the 30th, we deal with Tiling Mubeko. And then from there, members who want to come to Kingshark will do that. Others will drive from Ladysmith to Johannesburg because the kilometers is a difference of hundreds kilometers. If you drive from Ladysmith to King Shark, it's about 270 something. If you drive from Ladysmith, where we will be, to Joburg, it's about 300. So, and I think it would be necessary just to kill the Deben trip from Ladysmith. We all go to Johannesburg, and from Johannesburg we go wherever we are going, because it will cost a whole lot of costs for these tickets of members. In fact, I think let us agree that from Ladysmith we'll drive to Johannesburg. And catch a flight to Cape Town, to East London, to Polokwane, and East Rand. Those who are going to East Rand. Members, can you take that decision that we kill the the lag of going to, of flying from Durban on the last day to wherever. Honorable Kongbe.
You know, my challenge here is that I think, remember the stress we had in Joy. But why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? We had to answer those questions. We're not supposed to set oversight. My proposal is that 27 is still a distance. We're not changing things. Can urgently, by next week, we be given the purpose of the trip? All the stations, why are we doing this?
It's exactly what I was saying when we started. Now I'm just throwing the dates and the areas, but the meat.
What I'm coming to say is that had that been done before, maybe we could have debated whether the trip is necessary. I'm trying to make it so cool like that.
I think let's proceed, bring all these things that I said when I started. These are the days that we're going to put the purpose and all those things. Because we can't do that discussion when we panel bid everything next week in the manco and present it to you. Let's do that, present it to you, and then you can see whether you proceed or not. Okay. Yes, Commissioner.
Chair, mine is on this driving. I'm not trying to cope away your driver, Chair. To there you get don't say it's going to happen, but no, mna governor and the conduct to communicate now. I will even book myself with my ticket to Johannesburg. We just work out time.
Which one? From Harry Smith?
From Shaka to Johannesburg.
No, no.
Aleti?
You
see? Aleti, you. From Lady Smith, you were saying.
It's 270 something.
Yes.
From Lady Smith to
drive, yes. So for me, I want to be at the airport and then move.
And drive the same, more or less the same distance to the airport.
Yes, yeah, it's right.
There's a flight from Peter Marais.
Okay, okay.
No.
Comrade Tulas?
Chair, thank you. I think the idea of just throwing this to us and taking it back to the main for the actual detail and the indication from different members who would want to travel, which manner can take him into consideration as Honorable Kalabo,
okay,
who is his own. I think
let's leave it this.
That we know the dates are fixed. In fact, we confirm the fact that this is part of the committee program. It's not about the relevance of the trip. It's part of the committee program that we agreed on earlier on. And earlier on, we did the first leg, and now we are embarking on the second leg. The only thing now is the confirmation of the dates of which we agree on how we want to embark on this oversight. So let's take it back to the maker to do the actual details now, having heard from us what we want to see, what we must be put in writing here, what we want to achieve. If you want to go to Musasa, the radio station, why is that? What do you want to achieve from what we wanted to achieve earlier on as a bigger plan of the committee? So that by the time we get there, we are not as disorganized as we were in the first round, chapter. But also, the issue of logistics, even to go to an extent of knowing which hotel are we going to put up into, by next week. We must know. It's quite important, right, because we get some dissatisfaction in the last, but not because of anybody's making, but because sometimes of the processes of the institution itself that sometimes don't make really, are not so respectful to us as members. The use of which hotels must be put up into, all those, let's get them next week after the break, so that we can look at this and know this is how this trip is going to be embarked on, and we know the reasons, and we know why we are going to each and every station, and meeting everybody that we are going to meet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. As I say, this was only to say these are the dates, and then other things, members. Maverick, is it, what Maverick is it? Yeah. Members, I think we are done. You will get everything once we go for a
no.
Mr. Boss?
Okay, if I may say something.
Mr. Boss, logistics.
We gotta drive from Pietermaritzburg to Lake.
Well, let's wait, please. Because we still have to check members.
Yeah, that's what I want to raise the question.
Not here.
No, I'm talking about the from Pietermaritzburg to Ladysburg. There is a flight from Pietermaritzburg to Joburg. So instead of driving to Joburg. So.
We are done with that. Okay. We are done with that. The details, the logistics will be discussed by me and members.
Okay.
And then you get what must be. Members, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Enjoy. Yeah, we'll be in touch with you. Okay. Absolutely. I'm available. Thank you, man. Yo, my kids are running.
No.